This is probably going to be at least a two or three parter about the same thing, but it's my third revelation. Now, I told Teresa, if we start out with Revelation 1 and 2, I'll spend 15 minutes rehearsing that. Can't do that. I got to go forward. So today, we're going to continue our discussion about the five greatest revelations I have received from God since becoming a Christian. Number three, why God had to become a man. Why God had to become a man. People, this is so desperately needed to be heard and taught. People are clueless about the real plan of redemption. This is really an overview of the Bible from my perspective and from the revelation that God gave me. So everybody ready? Are you strapped in? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to overwhelm you this morning with scripture verses, but I'll probably get bogged down talking about a few of them. You remember in my story that I have spent a lot of quality time reading the book of Genesis. I really have. I've spent a lot of quality time reading the book of Genesis. So we're going to start out in Genesis 1, 26, and we're going to read these verses. Then God said, and again, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to see these verses. It's going to be things in there that I got to point out to you. Then God said, let us. What do you mean, let us? Come on, tell me what that is. Let us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Neither do I. But I believe that's what the Bible teaches. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Very important. According to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Everybody tracking? Next verse. So God, of course, I've got to stop on this one, Jerry, I have to. So God created man in his own image. Very important. It's going to come back to something very important. Because this created the first sin. This revelation created the first sin. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Everybody say that.
Male.
You know, I'm debating about whether having y'all say things back to me. I noticed that these mega churches, they teach and they talk, and they just teach and they talk. So does it bother y'all that I have you repeat verses? I know a couple people got upset about it, but some people get upset about anything. Amen. Don't take long to get anybody upset about something. So y'all don't mind if I have you say it back? So he created a male and female, he created them. So when somebody is born a male, it's because he is a male. If somebody is born a female, it's because they are a female. I've said this before, Frankie, maybe before y'all got back regular. If you told me in my lifetime that as a minister of the gospel, I would have to defend our children against transgenderation or whatever that is, that I would have to stand up and defend it, and that I would be persecuted for defending it, I would have told you I'd already be in heaven because Jesus had to come back, because that's worse than anything in Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. But we have to defend it. The remarkable thing about so much stuff in our world, it's like 1% of the entire population of America, and why in the world are we bowing down to 1%? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Y'all know, I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be at least a three-parter. Why God had to become a man. Verse 28, then God blessed them and God said to them. God blessed them and said to them. God blessed the people that he created in his own image. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Everybody listening to that? Who did God put in charge of what he created? Because I've got so many scripture verses, I didn't put this up, but over in chapter 2, we discover that God brings all the animals that he created and all the things that he created. And guess who names them? Adam. Why? Because he's the one in charge. He put Adam in the garden. I didn't put it up. It's one of my verses I got by Revelation. He put Adam in the garden to tend and keep it. Guess what every living human being is designed to do? Tend and keep their garden. That's why people don't like us. See, you don't come here and we place the blame on God. Now, if you stay here long enough, you'll find out that I place as much blame on me as I do you. Because I've made quite a few mistakes. Amen? Amen. You see what I'm saying there? The responsibility for naming the animals was placed on Adam, and God put him in the garden to tend and keep it. So he makes all these animals, Adam names them, and then Adam says, you know what? I like the donkey. I like the giraffe. I like dogs. Everybody likes dogs. Some people even like cats. See there, you're a cat man, which bothers me a little bit. But anyway. But Adam says, that's just not good enough for me. I need something else. So God put him to sleep, took a rib out of him, and formed a woman. But you know what? God didn't name the person woman. Adam did. Adam said, this is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, and she shall be called woman. Male and female, he created them. Now do you understand why we are so hated in the secular woke world? Because we're the only people, and again, if a minister of the gospel goes to church on Sunday and never talks against that, they are doing a disservice to God. Amen. You know, and it takes some courage. It does. It takes some courage. That's the beauty of maybe not having a real, real big crowd, because you don't offend that many people in person. Amen? Everybody following with me? Everybody tracking? So look what he says. Next verse, because I've got so many verses. Everybody, so who's in charge of the world? Who's in charge of what God made? Why does God have to become a man? Don't forget the theme. The heaven, Psalm 115, 16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. Now you'd have to pay somebody to misunderstand that. Or you didn't pay close attention in when English class and reading class was going on. Because anybody can understand, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Next verse. I'm laying this out. I got to lay this out. So, again, you know I got epistle lighted. And I began to focus my attention on the epistles. But you have to understand that the epistles bring light to what went on in the Old Covenant. And really, Genesis is not the Old Covenant. Do you know that? The Old Covenant starts in Exodus when Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments and then starts writing the book of Leviticus and tells you that basically if you have bad eyesight or moles or pimples, you're unclean, which pretty much disqualifies everybody in this room. Can I get an amen? You know I have bad eyesight. I will not announce to you where I have some moles. So I get over here to Hebrews. Again, God will tie everything out. It's all Holy Spirit inspired. It's the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Are we clear on that? So I get over here to Hebrews and it says, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. Now, verse 6, and I got to give credit where credit's due. I got this revelation from Billy Brim, a disciple of Kenneth Hagin and a follower of Kenneth Copeland. And Andrew Womack calls it being Copenhagen. I'm not really Copenhagen anymore, but she's a good woman. And I didn't catch this when I was reading it. Go back to verse 5. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. Follow the thought. Verse 6, follow this. But one, this is an angel that's talking. See, in the Psalms, they're prophetic. Jesus is talking in a lot of the Psalms, but an angel spoke this psalm in Psalm 8. So But one angel testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. Verse 8. Oh, Revelation hit me right here. Revelation hit me right here. For you have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now listen, see, you got this. See, Paul got that revelation. Paul wrote Hebrews. Paul got that revelation after he'd read Genesis. Everything comes from the new, from the old to the new. Got it? For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing. Everybody say nothing. He left nothing that is not put under him. So everything was under man's control. Adam and Eve were controlling everything. And the angels were shocked by this. They were flabbergasted by this. They were overwhelmed by this. What has God done? God's created something in his image. God's created the wonderful Garden of Eden and paradise and everything very good. And he's put a man in charge of it. Remember, that's what the angel said. There's an angel hanging around. There's an angel hanging around that saw this whole transaction. And I'm going to introduce you to him. Don't be scared of him. His original name was Lucifer. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I'll develop that. But he saw all this. And he said, man alive, he's put all this stuff under his control. But now, we do not yet see all things put under him. I'm not going to develop that except to say, do we still have to die? Yes, that's not been put under our feet. It's appointed unto man once to die. We don't see all things put under him. But through Jesus, all things get put under us through our faith in him. You tracking? Everybody see that? Everybody with me? You understand this is going to take more than one Sunday. You got to be back on December the 3rd. All right, next verse, Jordan. Yeah, let's finish. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. This is so beautiful. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, thank you that I didn't miss that verse, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Here's our first clue why God had to become a man. Man screwed it up. The second man had to fix it. God had to get into the earth legally. God was outside looking in. God had given control of the world to Adam, and Adam loses that control to another entity, to another person, or I don't know if you call him a person, but a being, to another being. Everybody tracking? Everybody with me? Now, next verse. So here's what you need to understand. My covenant, this is God speaking, my covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So when God told Adam he was in charge, when we learn in Hebrews that he put everything under his feet, that was a covenant God made with man, and God cannot take his covenant back. God can never lie. Say that with me. God can never lie. So there's a problem. There's a problem. He's got a legitimate covenant with man, and he's put man in charge, and we find out that man put somebody else in charge. So God can't break his covenant and say, well, wait a minute, ollie, ollie, income free, do over, my bad, start again. No, no, he's made a covenant, and he cannot. My covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Next verse. I put this in here too. This is Hebrews 6, and it's talking about the covenant that God made with Abraham. You tracking with me? God made a covenant with Abraham. And here's what it says, and I want to develop the theme. That by two immutable things, listen to this, this is what I want you to see. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Say that. In which it is impossible for God to lie. God can't lie. If he lies, the world comes to an end. It's over. If he lies, it comes to an end. So he has to do everything based on his covenant. So he made a covenant with man. So in order for him to redeem man from the brokenness and the sorrow and the sin and the depravity that came into the world, he himself had to become a man and do what the first man didn't do, and that's fulfill everything that God commanded him to do. You track it with me? The only way God could make it right was by becoming man. God had to become man in the flesh. Now, here's what another point I want to make on this. Did you ever stop and think about it? Why did he have to find somebody to make a covenant with? Why did he have to find somebody to make a covenant with? Because he's got to get back in. Don't misunderstand something. I see people are going to run off and misunderstand things. God is self-sufficient. God is all-powerful. God's throne's never going to be usurped. But in order for him to redeem man from his mistake, God himself has to become a man. And in order to become a man, he has to get in a lineage of somebody so he can have the seed brought forth through the virgin birth. You getting it all this morning? Amen. See, that's why people like me on the radio, and then we think on the internet, and we think on Twitter. We're not sure about Facebook. Still haven't got that figured out really good. Got it? No, and I don't want to bring any glory to myself. I'm just saying that, in my opinion, this is what's lacking in the body of Christ, is a real understanding of why things are. And my personality has always been, when somebody tells me something, my first response is, why? My first response is, why? Why? I mean, I used to not be a born-again person, and I used to see Jesus hung on a cross at the denomination I was raised in, and I'd look up there and I'd think, what in the world does that have to do with me? You know, what's that got to do with me? I mean, I respected him. I honored him, but I didn't know him, and I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know why he had to be on that cross. He had to be on that cross because he's the only one that could be on that cross. Because there's none righteous. No, not one. Every time I watch a sporting event, I'm convinced of that. Those people are crazy in those stands. When I went up to see the Phillies play the D-backs at the playoffs, I'm telling you, boys, the success of this country has bred a bunch of people that have no control over their flesh. Amen. I get caught up in it just like everybody else, so I have to make sure everybody understands that I'm not talking about holier than thou. But any blind man can see. Actually, you can't see it till you get born again. You don't really see the evilness of man until you get born again. And then what I've had to learn this. You have to learn you still have to love them. You still have to love them. And sometimes that's the hardest thing in the world. You still have to love them because God loved me when I was in that condition. And God loves me as a Christian when I'm in that condition. Everybody tracking on that one? That's a hard deal, though. You see some people acting so stupid and so ignorant and so evil. And you just wonder, man, do something. And he did do something. He sent Jesus. And then he put Jesus in us. And then we're the folks that's supposed to be doing something. And I don't mean creating a kingdom on the earth. I don't mean creating nirvana. That was something that was taught in some of that prosperity nonsense. That's not going to happen. That don't mean a thing in the world. God will meet your needs. If you serve him, if you love him, if you do what it says in the Word of God, you'll be prosperous. If you're in Kenya or some other country, your prosperity may not be on the level as America, but you'll be prosperous. You'll have a nice hut and clothes and food. You know what I'm saying? Prosperity is relative. You know, in this country, and that's what's so dangerous about our young people. You know, you remember my conversation I had with that guy on the bicycle last week. Remember that? I asked him if he was going to school. He said, dude, I'm 22. I said, well, what you got planned today? He said, whatever, I'm unemployed. Now, 22-year-old people ought to be working. You listening to me? 22-year-old people ought to be working. Now, 64-year-old people ought to be starting to think about not working. Come on now. Amen. Y'all see that? So he had to find a man. He found a man named Abraham. There's no doubt about it in my mind, the way it's written in the scriptures. I don't have time to go back there. It's very possible that Abraham wasn't the first person he talked to. Very possible. It's in the present tense. Now, God had said to Abraham, he may have said it to the Philistine. He may have said it to the Girgashite. He may have said it to, what's some of the Jebusites, all them sites. But Abraham's the first one that said, okay, I'll go. I'll go. Because I understand he recognized there was something wrong in the world, and he made a covenant with God, and he made a covenant with God before he was circumcised. He made a covenant with God, and God accepted his covenant relationship with Abraham because Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then circumcision came as a sign of the covenant that had been made through faith. Tracking? That's why he had to have Abraham. That's why he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now I'm going to get way out of my boundaries here. But all of them boys had kids, or all, that lineage kept having people. How many of you know people keep having people? People who love. And sooner or later, through that lineage, through the seed of David, he found a woman named Mary who is not divine, who had to get saved just like all the rest of us, who was in the upper room, one of the 120 in the upper room that got born again. But she does deserve honor because an angel appeared to her and said, listen, you're highly favored by God, and you're going to be the person that will allow the Holy Spirit to come on you, and you'll give birth. And she'll say, how can that be? I don't know a man. And he says, it's going to be a virgin birth, to back up what Isaiah said. So he makes a covenant with Abraham. So somebody watched all these things happen in the Garden of Eden. Were the angels impressed by it? Were they overwhelmed by it? Had God ever created anything in his image? You know, when God created us in his image, see, we look at our physical body, but God, the Bible says in John 4:24, God is a spirit. We're the only people. God bless our dogs and our cats. And, you know, we got a dog that's getting older and older. And when she passes away, I don't know if I'll get the family through it. But she doesn't have a spirit. We have a spirit. God is a spirit. We have a spirit. We're made in his image. We're made in his likeness. And that's why the devil hates us. Because what God gave to man and the first sin created was the sin of envy. He wanted that. That's what I want. Now, people have said, and again, this is my revelation. This is before I started a church. This is just me reading through the Bible during that 6-month period. And so, but I'd learned later that people claim that the devil had fallen, no telling how many years ago, and he was running around the cosmos, and that was why there was darkness on the face of the deep. But that can't be right, because I found a verse that contradicts that. Here's what it says about him. It says, you were in Eden. Where was the devil? In Eden. What did the devil see happen in Eden? That God made man in his image. Now, I couldn't find anybody alive. I'm going to jump ahead here. I would talk to my dad about it. Me and him had some good theological discussions. He was a Bible student as well. And I said, Daddy, I don't believe what they're telling people about there being some pre-creation cataclysmic fall. I said, I don't believe that's accurate. I said, I don't believe that God would create man knowing that he had an enemy out there ready to pounce on him. You listening to me? And I found this verse. Now, I got this verse probably later on, but it says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Follow this now. First sin is envy. The sardius, topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes were prepared for you on the day you were created. He's not omniscient and what does it mean when you have no beginning of end or ending of days? Eternal. That's what Jesus is. That's what God the Father is. They have no beginning or no end because they always were and they always will be. Again, somebody said, explain that to me. I just did. You just got it. You just got it. He always was and he always will be. He was created and he was pretty. He was amazingly beautiful. In fact, the New Testament tells you that he's actually an angel of light. He don't have red horns on his head, pitchfork. He's an angel of light, and he was pretty. And actually, let's keep going, verse 14. Most theologians, verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. Now, this is Lucifer. You learn this in Isaiah 14, but this is talking about Lucifer, one of the known archangels. The other known archangels are Gabriel and Michael, okay? That's why it'd be cool. Name your kids Gabriel and Michael, right? You were perfect in your ways. Here again, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. I'll go a little deep on you. This is where sin actually entered heaven and earth. The blood of Jesus, he had to go with the blood, his own blood, into the holies of holies to get everything uncontaminated. Now, never touch God's throne, never touch God. You tracking with me? So what happened? What's the second thing that happened? Pride. I'm pretty. I'm better than that man he created. I need to be the one he ought to put in charge of everything. Pride and envy. And darned if he don't go into the garden, don't have time, you know the story. He talks the woman, you know, to eat the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. She's got everything in the garden you could ever want. Everything. It's all good. The bananas are always ripe. The watermelon is always sweet. God help us in the state of Arizona. At Fry's Grocery Store, you can't get a ripe watermelon to save your soul. One of the great things about going to Kentucky is that at least they'll slice one for you to see if it's worth eating. I asked an attendant at Fry's, will you take it back here and slice it so I can see if it's good? Oh, no, sir, we don't do that. She says, you can go over there and get the ones that are already sliced up for you. I said, yeah, you want $10.99 for that. I can buy a watermelon for $4.99. Now, I may be stupid, Frank, but I'm not that stupid. Oh, the strawberries were always sweet. The raspberries. Nobody was eating meat at this time. Nobody was a meat eater. That breaks Donnie Federico's heart, I'm sure of that. But it was perfect. He said, there's one thing you shouldn't eat. You shouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he placed it in the middle of the garden. And that woman's got everything you could ever want. She's got a husband that loves her. You listening to me? All the animals obey her. There's no conflict between animals. Everybody's just laying down sweet and happy. Amen. But she goes over and stands by that tree. It's fascinating about man. And this is one thing I can't answer. She wanted the only thing she wasn't allowed to have. And I tell you what, I'm telling you what, I use this illustration all the time. When we were in charge of this church, and we are so grateful that we're no longer in charge of this church, I see they've got a toilet that doesn't work in the men's bathroom. And bless God, me and Bryant don't have to worry about that for a moment. Although they did ask me where to shut the water off, and I said, you're talking to the wrong man. I use this illustration all the time. When we were in charge of the church, we had problems with one of our urinals. I hate to go bathroom on you, but it's just a real story. And so some plumber came by, and he put some poisonous stuff in the toilet bowl and said, let that soak there for a while, and it'll clear it out, but just make sure nobody touches it, which wasn't hard for us. We were only open Sunday morning. But then we had the can of stuff, and he said, put that up there where children can't get to it. So we put the can up there and said, don't touch it. I'll guarantee you, everybody that walked in that room, in that storage room, which wouldn't have been very many of you, because hardly any of you even know where the storage room is. God bless you, and we love you. But I guarantee you, and when you saw that thing that said, please don't touch, what did human nature want to do so desperately? I want to know what's in that can. She wanted to know why she couldn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that lying, conniving, subtle snake, Satan, he's revealed in the book of Revelation, the serpent of old, that snake, Satan, actually at this time he's Lucifer. He's Lucifer at this time. And again, I didn't follow up on something. What I'm sharing with you, the only other person I've ever heard say the exact same things I'm saying to you is Andrew Womack. I've never heard anybody else go along with me. And he teaches that God didn't create Satan, we did. God created Lucifer, we created Satan by letting him into the garden. And I'm staying with that. I don't believe God put man out there knowing that there was a... I think sin happened in the Garden of Eden. Iniquity happened in the Garden of Eden. Envy and pride happened in the Garden of Eden. Lust happened in the Garden of Eden. He wanted those things. And he talked her out of it. He talked her out of it. Somebody said, how do I know that? Let's keep going. Ready? Luke. Oh, my boy, Luke. Then the devil. Now, watch this. You guys, are y'all tracking? Do you understand? I'm not going to get this done today. This is an overview of the Bible, my overview. Let me say this, don't need to be said. I don't know everything. There's a lot of things I don't know, but I know something. And I know that these basic fundamental things should be taught regularly in every Christian church so that people will no longer go around making ignorant statements. And I'll get ahead of myself. And I have said it for 27 years. If you learn this stuff, you won't go around making ignorant statements like God's in control. No, think about that. That would mean that God wanted all those Israelites, those Jews, to be slaughtered and children to be hurt. Total atrocities. That's not the work of God. God doesn't do that. And yet, the greatest Christian book in the 20th to 21st century, most sold book, is a book, and I'll say his name because I love him, but his name is Rick Warren, and he wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, and one whole chapter is devoted to the fact that every single thing that happens in everybody's life is part of some plan God has for you. That is stupid. I don't mean to be unkind. It robs you of your ability to be able to overcome the devil. Now, God's in control in the sense that nobody's going to take his throne and he's going to win. And there is one school of thought that I do tend to agree with. There was a certain amount of time that Adam's lease was, and that we don't know when that lease is up, because God ultimately is going to come down and win in totality. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says that the reason he hadn't come back is a love reason. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we ought to be doing, giving people the knowledge of the truth. Not talking about religious ceremony and religious differences and religious conflicts and, you know, do you baptize, do you dunk, or do you sprinkle, or do you... And you surely to goodness aren't one of those tongue talkers, are you? Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you listening to me? I want to get that in. Then the devil, where was he? In the garden. He took what belonged to Adam. Then the devil, talking about Jesus on the earth, the second Adam, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, we watch a lot of football. We're in a football pool, and it kind of makes it interesting to follow the games. And the night games in the NFL, they'll always do a panoramic view of the city they're in. Oh, and it looks so pretty. You don't see all the homeless people on the street. Did you hear what Gavin Newsom did when that guy from China came to San Francisco? All of a sudden, they cleaned the streets up with all the homeless people. So that means you could do it anytime you want. Man, it's evil. It's evil. But if you'll watch the football games and the night football games, they'll do a panoramic view of the Baltimore. Tonight it's in Denver. And that's not God's kingdom. Now, there's people down there that are in his kingdom, but that stuff's not part of God's kingdom. You tracking me? Okay. So the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Now, I want to go ahead and read verse 7 because I want to explain something. Verse 7. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Now, there's a lie here. But in order to get away with a lie, you have to be able to tell somebody an element of truth in order for it to be a temptation. In other words, Frank, if I told you that me and Teresa, in the back of our Mercedes, we've got a briefcase in it with $1 million, and it's unlocked, but knowing you're a born-again man and anything like that, Donnie's already... What would have to be true for that to even be a temptation? That I got $1 million in a briefcase in the back of my Mercedes. Guess what? I don't. But see, I got a Mercedes, yeah. A 2015 Mercedes that I'll probably never trade in. That thing drives like butter. Once you go Mercedes, you can't go back. And so don't call me greedy. I don't get next year's newest model. I just, as long as my car drives good. Amen. Go back to verse 6. This was the temptation. This was true. All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. When did it get delivered to him? In the Garden of Eden, where he was, where he saw the transaction, where he went in and talked the woman out of it, and then the woman gave it to the man, and the man ate of it. And I'm going to develop it more, but see that? This has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Now, part of that's a lie, because he may give you something for a certain length of time, but when the devil's done with you, you done. When the devil's done with you, you're done. And then you're going to have to face the consequences of serving Satan. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. What do we discover? It's been delivered to him. It's under his control. And so he says to Jesus in verse 7, and this is almost hilarious if you think about it. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. If I was Jesus, here's what I said. Let me ask you something, Satan. You got any streets paved with pure gold? Are the gates in your kingdoms made with one single pearl? Huh? Are you kidding me? I came from the presence from Almighty God. I came down from heaven. This stuff down here is not going to bother me none. Now, it had to be a temptation because Jesus was fully God and fully man. But what's he say to him in verse 8? And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." For it is written. He got the word. He got the word on him. For it is written. You know why people have a hard time with the devil? They don't have the word in them. They don't have the word to attack him with. And that's what I'm working my way back to in my life. I am. I'm working my way back into getting the word of God to be the first thing in my life. To get Jesus to be the first thing in my life. And it's a lifelong pursuit. Especially in America. Especially. But see, Jesus knew what was written. Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Let's say it, everybody. Verse 8. Y'all don't mind saying it, do you? You don't feel like you're in kindergarten, do you? That's what some lady told me. She said, I feel like I'm in kindergarten when I come to your Bible class, making me repeat words. I thought, my Lord, have you ever been to a Catholic service? Have you ever been to one of them? Peace be with you and peace be upon you. I mean, it's a principle, and I'm not necessarily criticizing that. It's a principle of God that you have to say back what you believe. It's with the heart one believes. It's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Woo! Man, I don't know if I've helped you, but I've preached me happy. Now, this is only part one, and I don't know if I'll even get it done on December 3rd, but this is part one of where we are, of why God had to become a man. Are you with me? Amen. Father, we give you the glory for this. Thank you that all this is written in your holy word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to give revelation knowledge to people that are called by you to tell people the truth of the word of God. And that we'll eliminate some of the false doctrines and false concepts that robs the church of its power. Because we'll understand that you're the God of heaven. You're the God of the kingdom of your Son. But Satan is the God of this world. But thank God Jesus Christ defeated him, conquered him, made a public spectacle of him. And through our faith in him, we can have that same ability and do the same thing. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Go in peace and have a nice Thanksgiving, everybody. Yeah.